Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 156 of Nerd Pride Radio. 156, that's the number of times a day that a cuckoo will emerge from its clock every single day. Assuming you're using a standard 12-hour clock and assuming that the cuckoo comes out once per number of the hour. So there you go. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My wife didn't ask me how I'm doing today. Lisa, can you not hear me over here? She's ignoring me. She's hard at work. Anyway, I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, the entire Fire Nation. And hold on. Before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, let's take a break for a little meta-talk.
Oppenheimer!
That's right. Meta-talk is where I open the kimono a little bit, talk about the podcast, the website, stuff going on behind the scenes. Just wanted to give you guys an update. The Pocket Mod is back. Yeah, finally. I got that composition notebook. I think I got maybe a third of the way through it, and it just kind of crumbled on me. So I am back to using a standard issue Pocket Mod, which I just folded today, got all my stuff entered on it from the old records, and oh man, it's so nice to have it back. It's in hot pink, by the way. So, it's a very cool Pocket Mod this week. Anyway, enough of that. It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. Something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week. I add it to my master list in my handy dandy Pocket Mod, and the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, first up on the master list, it's a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, not exactly, Gonzo, but you are so very, very close. Actually, what I'm talking about on the nerd culture report this week is a couple of comics that I absolutely love and you guys need to check out. The first one I've talked about before is Flutter by Jenny Wood and Flutter Volume 3. Which I believe is the final volume, is on Kickstarter right now. There's like a week or two left on it. If you have not read Flutter yet, because you don't ever listen to me, now's the time to start listening to me. Go get in on the Kickstarter. One of the levels, you can get a huge volume that contains all three volumes of Flutter, all for one low price. Honestly, get in on this. Flutter is really, really good. Highly recommend. Also, new artists that I just discovered this week. Her name is Minna Sundberg, and Minna Sundberg is a writer-artist who is of she's Swedish, raised in Finland, something like that, Scandinavian. There you go. And all of her work is all set in Scandinavia, and it is very Scandinavian in culture, and it's really cool. The first graphic novel that she did, I call it a graphic novel, online webcomic, however you want to look at it, is called A Red Tail's Dream, and it is very much a modern-day myth, a modern-day legend. It's very, very much got the flavor of old myth and legend, but set in modern times, and really cool. It is, we have a hero and his dog, and they wind up getting pulled into – well, I don't want to give anything away, but they get pulled into another realm, and they're on a quest, a very repetitive quest for a while, but on a quest to get back to their own world. And things change as they go, and it's all very fluid and very dreamlike, and brings in lots of element of Scandinavian myth, and legend. And I don't know particularly which Scandinavian myth, I believe Finnish. But anyway, it's a really, really good story. And I burned through that in about 2 days, and it was really, really awesome. And then from there, Minna Sundberg's next project after that one is a much more ambitious, longer webcomic entitled Stand Still, Stay Silent. And Stand Still, Stay Silent, which you can find at sssscomic.com, is a post-apocalyptic tale set in, well, all across Scandinavia. It starts in Iceland, but we kind of go from there. And it is 90 years after the apocalypse. And this is people finally wanting to set out to explore more of the outside world, the silent, as they call it. And so they're bringing together a ragtag team of explorers from several different nations. And it's just, it's beautiful. I mean, her artwork is just stunning. It is really, really gorgeous. These are beautiful comics and well written, super engaging. And my only problem with them, honestly, is it's the same problem I have with any foreign language comic. I mean, she does it in I'm reading the version in English, so you know, it's not like that part's a problem. But I do the same thing whether it's Japanese work, Chinese work, in this case, Finnish, Swedish. The names always throw me. For the life of me, it takes forever before names start sinking in. They just non-English names just don't connect to my consciousness as easily as English names. It's a cultural thing. And so it takes me forever to remember who's who by name. I can identify them. You know, I know who they are, their personalities, their whole bit. But, you know, you want to quiz me on their names, I could maybe remember one. I think I remember Torbjorn, but only because Torbjorn is also the name of the my oldest son, Jacob, his favorite character in Overwatch is Torbjorn. So that's the only reason I remember that one. Other than that, oh, it's just, I don't know. Like liquid mercury just flows away from me, as opposed to the solid mercury that I know you guys are all used to. I'm glad I added liquid in front of it so that you'd understand which version I was talking about. Anyway, Minna Sundberg, Red Tails Dream and Stand Still, Stay Silent. Stand Still, Stay Silent, by the way, I'm only 120 pages into it, and she's got currently 600 pages. And she posts up 4 or 5 pages a week. I mean, this is ambitious for as much detail as goes into her artwork, as beautiful as this stuff is. And she's cranking out 4 or 5 pages a week on this. It is really amazing. So I highly recommend you guys go check that out. All right. Enough of my nerd culture report.
And now for something completely different.
That's right. Now for something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. I think I might have had a category for political stuff, but I've forgotten what it was, so we'll just throw it in here. Yeah, my political topic this week is libertarianism. And I've been thinking a lot about libertarianism lately because of the fact that Gary Johnson is in the race for president, and there's debates about whether or not he should be at the podium for the debates and this kind of stuff. And which I personally don't have any problem with him being at the debates, but it's not going to happen. But I guess when I think about libertarianism, it's very appealing. I get it. I understand the appeal of it because it's basically, you know, do whatever you're going to do. Just don't hurt other people. You know, you should have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. If you want to, you know, if you know, as far as gay rights go, for example, you know, we don't care who you fall in love with. We don't care who you want to sleep with. That's none of our business. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. As long as you're not hurting somebody else, that's fine. You want to participate in dangerous activities. If you want to smoke weed, if you want to whatever, okay, that's fine. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, we're fine with that. And it's very, very appealing in that sense. But, you know, in its purest form, the purest form of it gets pretty close to anarchy, and I don't say that lightly. I'm saying the purest form is that government does almost nothing because, you know, hey, people can take care of themselves. And in fact, staunch libertarian policy says that, you know, we shouldn't have an environmental protection agency. We shouldn't have a Department of Education. We shouldn't have, the government shouldn't be funding anything really that, you know, if people want it, people will find money for it and they'll do it. And I have a problem with that, but I'm listening to Penn Jillette. He has a video. It's a libertarianism 101, and and if you want to find it on YouTube, I'm not going to put up a link to it, but it's Penn Jillette talks about libertarianism, Clinton, Trump, and I believe weed. I think that was the last the last topic in there. And Penn Jillette, very convincing man. I mean, when he talks about it, he comes across, you know, very smooth. And, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to pretend I know what's best for you. Don't pretend you know what's best for me. Hey, everybody should be able to make their own decisions. We should, and he talks about, taxation as violence, taxation as robbery. You know, taxation is money taken away from the people at gunpoint, essentially. And therefore, you know, hey, what things do you want to spend money on that are important enough that you would use a gun to do it? Which is, it's a very visceral sort of description. But again, he's very convincing, and he even says, he starts right off and says, you know, let's make this easy. Whenever I talk about libertarianism, the three things that people always talk to me about is schools, welfare, and roads. And he says, all right, you know what? I'll give you those. I think those are important enough. I'll give you public education. I'll give you welfare. I'll give you infrastructure. That's fine. But for everything else, I think government needs to be as small as possible, needs to get out of the business. And again, very convincing. It's a very appealing sort of philosophy. But then I start thinking about things like, for example, pollution. Now, pollution is a fairly easy one. Because, you know, look, our policy here, if you're libertarian, is you can do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting other people. Okay. So if I've got the river that's passing by my house and I'm dumping my waste into it, am I hurting the people that are downstream? I mean, it's my river on my property. I should be able to do whatever I want with it, right? Yeah, except that, you know, you're dumping waste here. It's going to hurt people downstream. I mean, really, you know, when you pollute, you're hurting more than just your own property. You're hurting more than just yourself. You're hurting other people by polluting. Okay, well, so the government should really have some sort of role in protecting people from that. I mean, we've decided it's okay to have government to protect our national borders and to have a police force to protect people from criminals, people that would want to hurt them, steal from them, etc. So does the government then get involved in handling pollution and making sure people aren't destroying the environment for others? Probably. Okay. But again, any particular libertarian may have, you know, a different view on where you draw the line, because that's the problem I'm having, is where do you draw the line on what is hurting somebody else? All right. Same with pollution. Let's move to shared resources. The idea of that same river that goes by my house. If I'm, you know, for whatever reason I have, whether I'm a farmer or I have, you know, some sort of factory on my property, whether I have whatever it is, I want to take water out of that river. So I take water out of that river to use for my own purposes. There's a river by my house. I should be able to take, you know, running through my property, I should be able to take water out of that river. But, and that's all perfectly justifiable. But then, okay, how much water can I take out of that river? At what point is my water usage now drying up the available resources for the next person down? Or for that matter, how much is my, fishing this river or overfishing this river? Can I stretch a net all the way across my section of the river on my property so that I catch everything that comes through here, thus depleting it for the people downstream? There's no more fish downstream. At what point is your usage hurting other people? And how far down the river do we have to consider these consequences? How do you manage shared resources? Because, you know, if human history has taught us anything, if we don't have, someone telling us that we can't do that, we will use up the resources. I mean, this is, you know, it's not just history even. We've got scientific studies. We've got psychological studies that show that given the opportunity for shared resources, and we could all share and everyone would benefit from that, but if people have a chance to cheat the system and take more for themselves and deplete those resources because it means an immediate profit for themselves, people will do that. And how do we manage that one? Or, all right, vaccinations. I mean, I get it, you know, do whatever you want. You have the right to do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting other people. So by not vaccinating my kids, where do we draw the line? How much does that hurt other people? Because, okay, you know, one person not vaccinating their kids is probably not going to make a huge difference. But once we're to the level where we see a community with 10% of their people are not vaccinated, 20% of their people aren't vaccinated, well, now suddenly we're seeing these diseases rise again. And sure, mostly you're putting yourself at risk, but you're also putting – there are certain people who can't get those vaccinations, like children who are too young yet to get those vaccinations, as a good example. So – if you have 10, 20% of your population not vaccinated, now suddenly there are babies getting communicable diseases that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. That had everyone been vaccinated, these kids wouldn't have gotten these diseases. And it's stuff that can cause permanent damage, permanent blindness, death. And so there will be, if enough people choose not to get vaccinated, then there's permanent damage being caused to other people. I mean, and now, you know, but also forcing people to get vaccinated means that they're taking on a minor risk by doing that. There is a small amount of risk measurable in getting vaccines. Not much, but it's measurable. So does the government step in and force people to get vaccinated then? I mean, personally, I think they should. I mean, we're trying to do that now. I think that's a good thing. I think preventing that level of disease and damage and death is worthwhile. I think it's worth the expense that we put into it and worth the small risk that we put individuals to when we give them those vaccinations. I mean, that's me. But as a libertarian, again, remember this is all going back to libertarian. I'm kind of rambling on. But going back to libertarians, okay, you can do whatever you want as long as it's not harming other people. Well, for a libertarian, is that enough harm to other people for them to step in and say, yeah, you know what? The government should do this. This is worthwhile because it's saving lives. Again, it's where do you draw the line? What was the last one I had? Oh, building codes, for example. Look, because when you talk about building codes, you're talking about, you know, again, from a strict libertarian point of view, you'd think, hey, you know, if people want to build their structures in whatever way they want with whatever materials they want, let them do that. And then buyer beware. If you want to rent space there, or if you want to buy that building, then you need to do your research and know what you're getting into. But truthfully, when it comes down to it, how much research do you expect the average individual to be able to do when you're talking about being able to research building codes, building materials, know what that means as far as your risk goes, being able to research your the risks you take with the foods that you buy or with the drugs that you buy or with – I mean, there's a lot of stuff there because just as an example for building codes, the country of Turkey has very few restrictions on what you can build and where and how. And in, 1999, they had an earthquake there, a 7.6 on the Richter scale. And that 7.6 earthquake wound up killing – at least 17,000 people. That's the official estimate, but some people are saying it's, you know, twice that, whatever. But 17,000 people killed by that earthquake. 40,000 people injured. 500,000 people left homeless by that earthquake. And 7.6, that's a big earthquake. Gotcha. All right. And it was a huge tragedy for them. Now, California, 7.6, they get magnitude 7 something earthquakes on a regular basis every few years. And in California, something like that, you know, the last one that was over 7, the number of deaths, 0. Okay. Now injuries from that one, maybe, you know, a few thousand. All right. Significant. Some property damage, but not 500,000 people left homeless, not, you know, thousands upon thousands of people dying. The worst that they've had in my lifetime, at least, back in 94, there was a earthquake directly in Los Angeles. And that one, 57 people died. All right. That's pretty tragic. But again, 57 compared to 17,000. And the difference is because California has rules that, look, you live in an earthquake zone. If you're going to put up buildings that people are going to be using, then you need to follow some codes. You've got some restrictions on you to make sure that people stay safe. And again, we're talking lots and lots of lives on the line here. So again, as a libertarian, is this something where you say, hey, it's none of the government's business, hands off, or do you take a softer libertarian approach and say, well, yeah, you can do whatever you want as long as it's not hurting other people? And we've deemed that the risk of this hurting other people is way too great. So therefore, government's going to step in on this one too. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, boy, libertarian seems really appealing. And when I listen to Penn Jillette talk about it, he's so smooth. He makes it sound like it's just as simple as that. It's so easy. Look, when you get to the big stuff, it's just simple. You just apply these basic principles and you're done. And I'm like, I don't think it's that simple. I honestly, because again, if you're going to talk about the government's role is to not interfere with people unless they're hurting somebody else. Well, where do you draw that line? Where does the government step in? Where do we decide that this is a level of harm, this is a level of risk that is worth government intervention? I don't think it's simple at all. If you started allowing some of that, I mean, like Penn says, he says, hey, you know, look, I'll give you public education. I'll give you welfare. I'll give you your infrastructure, your roads. Mainly what I'm interested in is he wants to stop huge corporate welfare. Well, yeah, of course. We all want to stop big corporate welfare. Other than the big corporations, everybody in this country agrees. We want to stop big corporate welfare. We agree with that. I mean, there's no reason that we should be using tax money to make large corporations richer. There's no reason we should be taking money away from the poorest people in this country to give it to the richest people in the country. We all agree with that. All right. But, you know, you don't have to be libertarian to Lisa's over there going, no, I'm actually down with that. I'm good. So I've had a lot of thoughts about libertarianism lately and about that principle of do as you will as long as you're doing no harm. And I guess as awesome as that sounds in principle, I think in practice it's really, really difficult, and it's just as complicated as anything else. Because once you start allowing that the government can protect people from all these sorts of situations, but, you know, we do want to stop this big corporate welfare and we do want to stop these sorts of abuses, well, you know, Bernie Sanders said all of those things, and socialism is as different from libertarianism as you can get on a lot of things. So, you know, what, I don't know. Anyway, those were my thoughts on libertarianism. I've gotten them out. I can stop thinking about it. Oh, thank goodness. Let me get back to my list here. And let's see. Oh, good. We can go lighter now. It's time for my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, and then I am here to share it with you. And first up, this is something I brought up on the boards already, but Target, the department store, well, not department store, the store, Target, there you go. And Target has a great selection of games. It started, I think we decided it started about a year ago, and it's just been building since then. That if you go into Target now, my Target has a huge shelf. It used to just be a little section, but they keep expanding it, where they've got, my Target, the one I go to, the one near my house. It's your Target too. It's right there. But anyway, the Target that I go to, again, huge gaming section, and it is all sorts of games that you don't see in big stores normally. So, you know, I'm looking at Settlers of Catan in there, and Cards Against Humanity and Pandemic, and they've got, you know, the One Night Werewolf. They've got Munchkin, for goodness sake. They've got several varieties of Munchkin, and really cool. And so I read this hipster article where the guy was complaining about it to a degree, but also saying that, and his comparison was that this was the line that made me label him as a hipster, is that the line was, yeah, well, no serious gamer would ever be caught dead browsing the aisles in Target, obviously. And I'm like, oh, dude, come on. Come on, seriously? You're going to be that? You're going to be that exclusive about stuff? God, I love, if we're in Target, which we're in Target quite a bit, if we're in there, I love perusing those aisles. I love just looking at the games, because there's a bunch of them I haven't bought. There's a bunch of them I don't own yet. And I'm just looking at them going, oh, I so wish. But the point he did make is that Target having these independent games, again, it's not like it's a full gaming store full of indie games, but it is the main ones that people would have heard of. It's Catan, it's Pandemic, it's these ones that, to this guy, and I completely agree, are like your gateway games into a larger world of gaming that isn't Monopoly and Risk and Clue. That you know, here's all these other games that are available to you that most people don't even know exist. And if you can get that started at Target and have people picking stuff up there, and then that brings them into this larger world of gaming, awesome. Very, very cool. And I completely agree. I love seeing the stuff there. I love going to Target now just because I can spend a good 10, 15 minutes there just picking up boxes, looking to see what they got. Now, the other thing though that this highlights to me is the vast number of reskinned versions of games that are out there. Like Munchkin. As much as I love Munchkin, how many versions of Munchkin are there now? Hundreds? I mean, you know, and I own a few. I've got regular Munchkin and, I've got, Age of Legends. Is that what it is? The, Munchkin Legends. There you go. That is the Greek and Roman myth. It's actually a lot of mythological stuff, but it relies heavily on Greek and Roman. And that one we've just mixed in with our regular, Munchkin deck because they all work so well together. But we've also got Zombie Munchkin and Pathfinder Munchkin and Adventure Time Munchkin and Space Munchkin and, oh, there's one more that we have. But we got a lot of Munchkins and they make so many more than that. You can buy Munchkin for just about anything. And, you can do the exact same thing for Catan and for Pandemic. Do you know how many versions of Pandemic are out there? And part of me is bothered by this because it seems like such a blatant cash grab that we're just going to keep publishing the same game over and over, but we're just going to put different names on it. I mean, like, you know, much the way Monopoly has done for my entire life. How many different versions of Monopoly are there? And it bugs me because, again, it's not adding new content. It's just a cash grab. But then I see something like Pandemic Cthulhu, and I'm like, oh, but see, I have to have that one. I mean, seriously, how much better would Pandemic be if you're fighting off elder gods instead of diseases? That's really cool. I can't. So as much as I find this reskinning multiple versions of the same game over and over, as much as I find that a little distasteful, yeah, I also kind of want a couple of them. So, I'm kind of a hypocrite there, but either way. Okay. And as long as I'm at the gaming table, do you remember when I talked to you about Jomsvikingr? Of course you remember. Jomsvikingr was the Viking game where you're blindfolded and you got to keep one hand on the chest in the middle. You got two opponents and they call in response to each other. It's like a really, really restricted game of Marco Polo. And then after the third call, you try and hit the guy with a dried fish. And, we had God, Pregnant Woman. What is she pulling all that tape off over there for? That is really loud. I don't know. Could you guys hear the tape? I could. I'm like, what is she doing? So I look up and she's got her face taped up and anyway, she's very funny. Jomsvikingr. We had to come up with a game for, our last Boy Scout meeting. And we had a whole bunch of ideas and we had decided what we were going to do. And at the last minute, Eli goes, no, wait, I got this one. We're playing Jomsvikingr. That's what we're doing. And so we brought a big chest and it was just a big ice chest. So we've got the cooler out there and we used their neckerchiefs as blindfolds. And then instead of dried fish in a bag, we just did pillowcases with stuffed animals in them. And the scouts would get out there in pairs and they each got a hand on the cooler and they would walk around it and they'd call out, Scout, yes. Scout, yes. Can I hit you with my bag? Go ahead. And then they'd take a swing and then we'd all laugh when they missed and fell over. And it was at first they were hitting each other every time because they were just not very good at hiding. But after a few rounds, they started to get the hang of it, and a couple of them got really good at doing the call and then being able to dodge and hide over on one side. And Jomsvikingr was so much fun. Maybe, maybe not appropriate at a scout event because we're encouraging people to hit each other with bags, but so much fun. And nobody got hurt, so I'm going to call it good. So Jomsvikinger is just as good in person as it is on video. I highly encourage you to try it out at your next family get-together. All right. Also, the other game I've been playing lately. We should play it at Ponca this weekend. Yes, we will absolutely do it. Oh, we're going to have like 40 people up there. It's going to be awesome. Oh, we're going to get some Jomsvikinger going. Yes. Yeah, get some adults out there with a little bit of beer in them. And, well, how will you know they have beer in them? Because they're there and they're camping. That's how you know. But the other game that we've been playing lately, and this is a game I invented myself, and I'm really very proud of it because it's super stupid. And at first, other people don't know that you're playing, but they catch on pretty quick. What you do is you put out one finger when they're not looking, and you just start to poke them very slowly, okay? And like you start from a good 6-8 inches away. Make sure they're not watching. They're watching TV. They're involved in something else. They're driving maybe. And then you just slowly move your hand closer and closer until you're touching them. And then you just keep poking. Just keep poking until they finally, it becomes uncomfortable enough that they finally go, well, what the hell are you doing? And then you go, slow poke. That's it. That's the whole game. And it's super stupid and they'll get really mad at you the first couple of times that you do it. But then after enough times, they start doing it themselves. And so now my whole family now will, if you can catch somebody else off guard, you just slowly move your hand in and finally you get them and you wait till they brush you away and you go, oh, slow poke. Stupid game. Super funny. At least super funny to me. It's less funny when someone else is poking you. I don't know what the difference is, but when you get poked, really kind of annoying. But when you're doing the poking, awesome game. Awesome. Oh, hold on. My wife has something to add here. Yes, Lisa. Wow. I'm hurt. My wife says, wow. And how many times over the years have we had complaints from teachers that our kids won't stop poking other children? I'm like, what? That's not connected at all. I didn't invent this game until like 2 weeks ago. People have been complaining about our kids for years. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not my fault. Wow. God, see, leave it to her. I'm having a good time here and she brings up complete irrelevancies. I don't get it. This is weird. All right. I think that's it for my gaming table. Yep, it is. Should I do Roku? Should I? Yeah, what the heck. Roku is the box that I used to use to watch all my streaming services. I don't anymore, but I still like to call it Roku. This is all my TV is streaming now, mostly Netflix, but everything. And just want to say I finally, because Luke Cage came out yesterday, no, 2 days ago. Luke Cage came out 2 days ago, and so therefore I had to finish watching Daredevil Season 2 because I hadn't even done that yet. And Daredevil Season 2 was awesome. Really good, super dark, but you know, that was to be expected. And I thought the handling of Punisher, it was really well done. I thought the handling of the three main characters of Daredevil, him and Foggy and Karen, I thought that whole dynamic went really well. Elektra, I've never known anything about Elektra before. I've just always known that she was she was another superhero slash possible villain who showed up in Daredevil once in a while and worked with him on occasion. But when I've read Daredevil, she was never in Daredevil during the times that I was into the Daredevil comics, so I didn't know a whole lot about her. And she annoyed the crap out of me at first, but then as the season developed and we find out more about her, really like the character. I thought that was really well done. My only complaint about the season is the big bad guy. Ultimately, it's the Hand, and if you're familiar with the Daredevil comics, the Hand has always been a big part of that. I felt like the Hand was kind of generic as far as big bad guys go, but that's okay because there was so much other stuff going on, so much other really interesting stuff. I was just very happy with the whole thing. I love Marvel in the Netflix universe. I love the way they're putting it together, and I love the focus on character and character development and real human problems. And you know, I thought it was really good. Which then leads me to Luke Cage, which I've only seen one episode of, but I can already tell you I'm going to adore Luke Cage. It is very much, established in black culture. The majority of characters in this, in fact, virtually everybody in this show so far is a person of color. And I assume that over time it's going to have overtones that tie into themes related to Black Lives Matter and other stuff like that. I don't know for sure. I've only seen one episode, but it was just really, really good. Just again, I'm one episode in and already I'm in love with Luke Cage. I can't wait to see how the rest of the season plays out. It's going to be really good. So there you go. That's my Roku. And that means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out – I need to change that. At the middle of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And as it turns out, you could also go to my old forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. And if you have an account there, apparently you can still send me private messages and I'll still get them, because that's what Daz did this week. He had not come to the new boards yet. And so he sent me a whole list. By the way, thank you, Daz. They're really good. A whole list of Pod-O-Matic questions to the old forums. And I was stopping by. I'm like, why in the hell do I have a new message here? I didn't know people could still send messages here. This is great. And sure enough, it's a whole list of them from Daz. It was great. And then just today, I mean, like a half hour before I start recording, I get a message from Daz on the new board saying, oh, hey, I just figured out how these boards work. I'm like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I already got them. We're good. So our first number is 91. And 91 is from – hold on. I got them pulled up. I wasn't thinking this time. There we go. And 91 is from – it's – I swear I've got it. I know how to work these things. There we go. It's from Billy Bob. Billy Bob says – I'll be 35 soon, and then I can run for president. What can I look forward to about getting old? Wow. So you're implying that I'm old already. So, yeah, you look forward to your body falling apart a little bit. Aches and pains that you've never had before, hair growing in weird places, it's stereotypical stuff. But here's the thing. At 35, or even at 45, 46, which is where I am, or you'd be super old like my wife. at this age, it's getting to where you can still do all of the same stuff that you used to be able to do. Like, you know, when it comes to, oh, we're hauling a bunch of stuff. We need to lift these in here. We need to move this stuff around. Oh, you can still lift it and move it and do whatever you need to do. But, oh, guess what? It's going to hurt really bad afterwards. Yeah, you can still act like you're a young guy. You're just going to hurt yourself doing it. That's the part that sucks. All right, my wife is offended that I called her old. So, like, for what it's worth, she has a student who on my wife's birthday last year, she asked this student. So she, because you know, she says it's her birthday, and then okay, well, how old do you think I am? And the little girl who was in kindergarten last year, the little girl says 100. So, okay, now this year. My wife asks her again, and my wife was very offended because, you know, five-year-olds are always really great judges of age. But this year, how old did she guess you this year? This year, my wife asks her again on her birthday and says, yeah, it's my birthday. Oh, how old do you think I am? 56? See, so she now, she has taken such good care of herself, she looks 44 years younger. So she should be proud of that. That's pretty awesome. Whoa, that was weird. Sorry about that. I thought I was numbering my recording, but instead I wound up, come on. Oh, why is it not moving anymore? Darn it. I've changed a setting on here and I don't know what it is, but it won't show me where my recording is anymore. I'm a little disappointed. I can't do anything to fix it, so I'll just have to let it go. Anyway, I stopped the recording, so if it cut me off in the middle of my words there, sorry about that. Let's just move on to the next number. We're at 26. And 26 is from, and if I did cut off in the middle of a story entirely, you guys let me know and then I'll finish the story some other time. 26 is from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, I've decided that I'm really into music by female singer-songwriters, Ingrid Michaelson, Regina Spektor, etc. It hit me that this is like our parents' version of easy listening music. So my question is, am I old? Well, you know, we seem to have a theme going here tonight. And the answer is, yeah, duh, of course you are. Ugh, criminy. Yeah, this is like dad getting in the car and plugging in ABBA or Crystal Gale or whatever. That's what you're listening to, dude. And that's how your children view it. So you're just going to have to get used to that. 22. 22 is from Billy Bob again. How many does this guy have? Billy Bob says, which elemental plane would you like to vacation on? Okay. I'm going to go with the plane of Earth because I mean, it's just a vacation. I don't have to stay there. Cause I think the whole tunneling aspect of vacationing on the plane of Earth would be super cool. Conceivably the plane of air, but heights make me weird. So, you know, if I'm looking over the edge and there is no ground, I'm going to be a little disturbed by that. So I'm going to say plane of Earth. Oh, but he goes on and says, what if I throw in the para-elemental planes? Ooh, okay. So what are the para-elemental planes? Magma, steam. Oh, nobody. Let's see. Magma, steam. What are the others that go in there? Or is that fog? I don't remember which one. That's the cross of air and water. And then, okay, there's no firewood. So mud. Ugh. Para-elemental plane of mud. That's terrifying. And then dust or smoke. No, you know what? Let's stick with the plane of Earth. The para-elemental planes are not helping me at all. So I'm good with that one. 25. All right. Are you actually rolling here? Is this just coincidence? We'll just go with it anyway. Hey, it's from Kaz. Kaz says, whiskey drink, vodka drink, lager drink, cider drink. Which one puts you under the table? Since the whiskey drink is the one I drink most often, let's go with that one. Tequila is the one that really hurts me, and I haven't had any tequila since, 1989. So, 1990. It was St. Patrick's Day 1990 was the last tequila that I had. That one kills me, and it makes me sick to even think of it. So, but, you know, of the four you offered me, definitely whiskey drink. That's the one. 65 is from... it's from Daz. All right. See, I told you, Daz, this would pay off. All right. Daz says, do they have mindless workplace health and safety rules in the U.S. too? You're not from the U.S., Daz? Wow. Well, of course we do. There's all sorts of them that, look, we have what we call OSHA requirements, OSHA Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I'm guessing, something like that. But every potential harmful substance within the workplace has to have an OSHA label on it. So all of the cleaning supplies, all of the everything's got an OSHA label on it to describe the potential harm, the potential side effects of using this product, the potential dangers, how to handle it safely, what to do in the case of a spill, and they all have these official OSHA labels and data sheets and stuff like that. But there's more than that too. But some of them aren't so mindless. You know, the one that gets hammered into us all the time because we work in what is technically a hospital, is, the hand washing, the cleanliness, the proper cleanup of various stuff. I'm thinking everybody's got that. Bureaucracy is just part of our world. And again, some of them have a really good purpose and some of them seem like common sense, but I guess if you don't spell them out, then, someone can claim that, hey, you never warned me as, anyway. But yes, every place has that. Absolutely. 14. All right. 14 is from, this is, by the way, whatever I did that screwed up the recording earlier, it's still recording, but again, it's not moving. So I keep looking at, the 40-minute mark, and we're now up to 45. It's just driving me crazy. 14 is from Mrs. Darks. Hey, Mrs. Darks. Let's see. I just heard about a PI who has her lab use her arm hairs as – all right, PI. I don't know what PI means in this particular instance other than private investigator. But I just heard about a PI who has her lab use her arm hairs as part of an assay. Assay? Is that the right pronunciation of that? I've never used it out loud. I know of another lab which uses its members' own blood for experiments. What body part / component would you sacrifice for science? I don't know. Well, I mean, look, any of the easily disposable and regenerating parts of my body, you know, skin cells, hair, nail clippings, you know, you want any of that. I'll give you spit. I'll give you a little bit of blood. No, you can't have the birthmark on my left butt cheek. That's not removable. That's a permanent part of me. Wow. It's adorable, right? Yeah. She says, yeah, it is. I don't know if I believe her or not. But while I'm still alive, I don't know if I'm really, really ready to give up, much more than that. I mean, certainly nothing is going to do permanent damage. But, you know, certainly, you know, you want my blood, spit, urine, nail clippings, whatever. Yeah, I'll give you all of that. That's fine. In fact, I mean, I've already got them in jars in the basement. So if you're ready to come take them, get on it. Let's see. Okay. Have I screwed it up again? Nope. All right. Let's see. Next up. There we go. Sorry, I was distracted by the stupid recording thing again. 39. 39 comes from... there it is. Ha. Oh, it's from my wife. Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll have to think about this one. Lisa says, make up a haiku involving your last role-playing game. My last role-playing game would have been – okay. I think I got this one. What is it? It's 575, right? Is that the process? Okay. Well, yeah, about nature, but okay. I'm trying to squeeze all this in here because it's okay. They went giant hunting. No, that's six. Damn it. Team went giant hunt. No, darn it. I got to get giant hunting in there because that's the first line. Let's see how I do this. Oh, I know what I can do. All right. I think I can do this. All right. Giants ran away. They all chased after them. Oh, the whole team chased after them. Got it. I stayed back, had sex. There you go. Is that unfair? Is that unfair? And I didn't really have any sex, but that's what everyone was joking that I did. So we had a plan that the Giants ran away. The remainder of the Giants ran away after their attempted invasion of Sandpoint. We decided that we needed to chase them down. We couldn't let them get back to their base and report what had happened. And I said, hey, look, guys, I got a bunch of stuff I could be doing around town. There's a whole bunch of research I could be doing and, you know, all this stuff. So do you guys need me? I mean, can you guys, it's just a few Giants. You guys can hunt them down by yourselves, right? And they all said, yeah, sure, no problem. And then they went off and everybody, they had a bad time and critical hits were involved and people almost died and I really should have been there. But for what it's worth, got a lot done. And their big joke was that my character was staying back so that I could relax and have sex and goof off the whole time, which is not what I did. I promise you, not much. So anyway, that's the best I can do for a haiku. I'm sorry, babe. Next up. 79 comes from, there it is. There we go. It's from Kyle again. Hey, Kyle. Kyle says, what's the last gay dream you had? and who was involved. And then he says, okay, I know you're not going to say who was involved, but it was Rob, wasn't it? Wow, that is a really good question. Actually, my last gay dream was 3 nights ago. And I'm all right, I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but it actually involved Xena and Gabrielle. So there you go. I mean, it was hot, but, you know, still, I'm a little ashamed. A little ashamed. 01. We'll make this our last one because 01 is just an auspicious number, right? This one's from Master. Master says, what time is it? 7:45. Okay. And that's the end of our Podomatics. So 7:45 p.m., I should really clarify. That's the end of our Podomatics. So I'm going to turn this over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of this week's episode. Go on, GLaDOS.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Want instructions on making your own pocket mod? Now that I'm using my pocket mod again, you go over to pocketmod.com. They'll give you everything you need to make your own pocket mod at home for free. All you need is a sheet of paper. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks Versus, Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. I just finally put the actual copy here into the credits and now I can't read it. I'm an idiot. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, please, please, please send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording. Get in on this. And so you guys did. And everything that you've posted in those threads, I will read off right here. First off, we're going to start over at my website, nerdprideradio.com/nerds, where, and just in case you hadn't caught that yet, where I opened up and said, give me an awesome title for this episode and give me a question or comment that justifies me using that title. So, or, you know, just hang out and chat, whatever. The only response I've got so far and that I'm going to get is from Kaz. Thanks, Kaz. And Kaz says that I should use the title Pure in Heart. Okay. All right. Let's check out and see the question or commentary that follows that. He says, tell us your favorite quote from a monster movie or horror movie. My mom's is, even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolf's bane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. Aw, that's pretty cool. All right. I can go with that. All right. I've seen enough horror movies. I know I've got this. All right. My wife is saying Zombieland. So yeah, anything from Zombieland. All right. I look, any of the rules, cardio, double tap, et cetera, right in the middle when Bill Murray says Garfield, maybe. Okay. I'll take anything from Zombieland. But let's see. Cause earlier this week, I was actually just having to explain to one of my kids, I think Eli, I was having to explain Pet Sematary to him because I don't remember why it came up, but suddenly I had to quote and go, sometimes dead is better. And he's like, what the heck is that? So I had to explain that to him. Fava beans and a nice Chianti. There's a good, oh, no, I know. I don't remember which one it's from. It's either Devil's Reject or House of a Thousand Corpses. It's one of those Rob Zombie movies. But, and I don't remember the exact quote, but something along the lines of, you know, the next words to come out of your mouth better be some brilliant Mark Twain shit, because it's definitely getting chiseled on your tombstone. Something like that. Because I have a database of badass movie quotes, and while I stopped maintaining that about 10 years ago, that was one of the ones that definitely got included, because I love that quote. So, do I have to pick just one? Or let's just go with all of Zombieland. That will be my first choice for favorite horror movie quote. All right. What else do I have from Mr. Kaz? Hold on. Yeah, get back in here. All right. Now on to other questions, he says, like, why does candy corn taste so bad and mellow cream pumpkins so good even though they're the same candy? Dude, you got that completely backwards. Seriously, the pumpkins? Yeah, I mean, I'll tolerate them, I guess. But candy corn's awesome, dude. Seriously. Well, okay. Once again, I have to bring this up every year. Candy corn that I've stolen from someone else's desk always tastes awesome. And especially, a lot of people around my office, for some reason, have taken to having a mix of candy corn and peanuts on their desk. And so, yeah, if you can steal a handful of candy corn and peanuts, oh, that's the best. Buying candy corn sucks if I have to buy it myself. But stealing it from someone else's desk, awesome. And this is totally worth buying, is the candy corn M&Ms, because they don't actually have candy corn inside them. It's just white chocolate on the inside. It's spectacular. It's M&Ms stuffed with almond bark is all it is. And they're awesome. I love the candy corn M&Ms. But that wasn't your question. Your question was about the pumpkins versus the candy corn. And dude, candy corn is so much better. But yeah, I'll eat either one as long as I can steal it. I'm fine with that. All right, next question. If Santin had survived the rescue mission Brother Justice sent us on all those years ago, where would he have retired? Santin was a drunken dwarf character that I created for Jeff's Old Dogs Shadowrun campaign many, many years ago. And had Santin been rescued and then gotten a chance to retire, he would have retired to a small lake in Canada, which I'm not making that up because that's on his character sheet. All right. On his character sheet, it talks about the lake in Canada where he would have retired. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to go look up his character sheet and see if I can actually find the name of the place. Yeah, wouldn't you know it? I found it. And darn it, it doesn't name the lake. I know I had it. I had it picked out. Because I remember finding the map and I found the lake. But here in my bio, it just says, yeah, as much as I hate the French attitude up Quebec ways, I love Montreal. I always tell myself I'm going to go up there and retire. Just haven't gotten up there yet. And at the very end, with any luck, I'll find the big score that lets me quit all this shit and find myself a little cabin in the hills of Canada with any luck. Damn. Darn it. I know I had a name for it, but oh well. Anyway, yeah, that's where he's going. He's got a mountain lake in Canada. That's where he's going to in Quebec somewhere. So actually, technically not. Canadian American States, Shadowrun. It's actually Quebec, but still, that's where he would retire. So let's see. That was it for that one. Oh, still more. It says from Kaz. Still, I'm betting this comes up in the episode. But what do you think of Luke Cage, of the Luke Cage that you've watched so far? Oh, love it. And you're right, it did come up already, but absolutely love it. And again, I'm only an episode in, so I'm liking it enough, but with the Netflix Marvel series stuff, it'll take me a while. It'll probably take me 2-3 weeks before I get all the way through it, but really, really liking it. So good stuff. All right, that is the end of my forums, nerdpryradio.com/nerds. And now let's go on over to Facebook and see who's responded over there. And it turns out, oh, I got a few. First one is from Pat, DM Darks. Pat says, how backed up are you on your podcasts? I'm actually caught up right now, dude. Doing really well. So he says, I'm currently listening to episode 153. I'm so backed up, I've gotten the warning from my phone that I'm in danger of losing functionality of programs. Oh, I hate it when that happens. That was from the time that I went to Camp Cedars back in June until the end of August. So it was a good three solid months that I just could not get caught up. I just constantly had, I would be listening to, I listen to everything Nerd Pride Network immediately. So the minute anything comes out from me, like Trivia, Casting the Curious, or Angry Geeks Versus, I will listen to all of those immediately first day I get them. But other than that, I was having stuff pile up, like, you know, like 5 or 6 episodes of The Nerdist that I just, finally, I had to delete a few of them because, you know, I just picked out the ones with people I recognized or people I was excited about hearing. Or things like, I guess, The Moth. I haven't caught up on The Moth yet, but I don't know. I'm just not excited to do it yet. But right now I've got a stack of old Moth and new Moth episodes, and I've got a stack of old, No Sleep podcast episodes. And those are just my backups so that when I do run out of stuff, I just have a whole list of those I can listen to, just a bunch of storytelling stuff. But other than that, I'm caught up on everything else. I'm current. So very, very fortunate. So finally. But that took summer getting over and me having time driving back and forth and this kind of stuff. So next one is from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, how awesome is DM Mike? Well, I wouldn't know. I've never gamed under me, but I think I'm pretty awesome. Yeah, see, my wife says I'm pretty awesome. I love me. Sarah Beth follows that up with, oh my God, you guys, this game is so good. I assume you're talking about Paranoia. And yeah, dude, totally. I mean, it's seriously gotten to the point where, there's big stuff going on every move right now, and I'm really liking it. There is a very dramatic thing that is just about to happen, and people do not realize how, I mean, once you read it back in retrospect, you're going to read it and you're going to see this huge setup going on in the background that only some people can see and others can't. So when the people who can't see it make moves that play right into it, you would think it was coordinated. You would think that we did it all on purpose. No, this is just how it's working out. So I'm really excited about the next couple of moves. Paranoia is great. And whenever this is done, I'll release the whole thing. You guys will get to read every bit of it and then we can actually talk freely about it. Next up is from Nelly, and Nelly says, how do you feel about grapefruit? And, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of most fruits just because I'm a picky eater and I'm dumb. But I don't mind fruit flavors. I don't mind fruit juices. I don't mind. And I will just tell you that grapefruit is nasty. Grapefruit is nasty and wrong. It's a devil fruit. It's a horrible, horrible thing. My wife disagrees with me. My wife likes grapefruit. She specifically likes the ruby reds and enjoys those. I can't stand grapefruit. To get grapefruit flavor on something, bitter ass poison is what it is. Ugh, nasty. Yeah, I can't stand grapefruit at all. I mean, like I say, I'm not fond of most fruits, but I can tolerate them. Grapefruit, no, not even tolerate. Ugh, there's no purpose in it. Terrible stuff. So, all right, and there you go. That is the end of this week's episode. So thank you so much to everybody who participated. Say goodnight, Lisa. Good night, Lisa. Say goodnight, R2. You guys have been awesome. I love you. I'll see you next week. Goodbye.